All right, we're live, boy. I'm your host, Boy Harrison Cordell, and we only have David Lake here.
Howdy.
For the Crimes of Grindelwald review.
Oh, gosh.
So stay tuned for that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, probably just get relatively right into it. I'm actually going to play Half-Blood Prince in the background for some visual references.
Oh, gosh.
Wait. We will not be distracted by it. It's not visually interesting. USA
is what I was doing. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
Oh, my gosh. That movie was...
Okay.
It wasn't, like, terrible.
I thought it was better than Half-Life Prince, but...
It just disappointed me a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, start off this review. I don't want to say it's bad.
I don't want to say that either, because that's a bold thing to say.
That's a bold thing. You know what? Actually, no, I'll say... I don't know. Maybe it's intentional that J.K. Rowling just made a bad one. Just appreciate the other ones better.
That could be part of it.
Oh, you thought Half-Blood Prince was a ham-fisted setup?
Boom. Plop. Let's watch Crimes of Grindelwald. Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first Fantastic Beasts, right? That was well done.
That was very good.
It was on its own.
I think it was...
Very well done. They did a good job with the American...
It might be my top five. I don't know.
I think it's there. It's good.
I don't like the fourth one too much, so yeah, I think it's better than that one.
That's fair. The first two, yeah, I mean, like we said, Dumbledore is good. The first two Harry Potters. But, yeah, Fantastic Beasts, though, was well crafted.
If Fantastic Beasts was a very tight narrative that nobody could possibly think that they could go into five movies about. But then The Crimes of Grindelwald will prove that, oh, they can really drag this out to five movies.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of whatever.
But, yeah, Fantastic Beasts... Beats.
Fantastic Beats and Where to...
That'll be the musical version.
Fantastic Feasts and Where to Dine.
Where to Dine. Oh, gosh. Yes. But, like, that movie on its own was, like, pretty good. I was okay, this is a good...
It was, like, actual world building, not world telling.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've learned from this movie.
You could make another movie in that universe that had nothing to do with the original.
Yeah, it's just like, this is the Ministry of France.
Like, okay.
Get away from those no-magiques.
No magiques. Oh my gosh.
The it's highlight. Gonna be light spoilers at the beginning for those at home.
Well, basically, there's just a speech.
We'll do a split.
Grindelwald's it's like, giving.
In the actual movie, there's like, yeah, it's pretty light on spoilers, and then halfway through it goes full on.
That's true.
Just right away.
We're not gonna, we don't have to reveal
Also, you shouldn't care about spoilers for this movie, to be honest.
The second half, yeah.
Because it won't make sense in the movie.
This whole movie is set up.
Three more
other movies. that's what I got from watching it. I was like, oh, so we're gonna take the first movie.
Yeah.
We don't really care what happened in the first movie. The only important character from the first movie is probably Credence, I guess, is the only thing, like, you need to really know about.
Yeah.
Like, you could watch...
Well, you need to know about all of them, but they do a pretty good job. They're defined enough to where you can probably understand
it. You would guess it, though.
When you watch it, yeah.
Yeah, like, the point is, like, the first movie is not that necessary.
Here's the thing about modern blockbusters, if you don't know how they work, just have somebody else explain them to you. Somebody knows.
Yes. So true.
Somebody younger than you knows.
Oh, my gosh. No magique. You know
no magiques.
No magiques. The French.
No magis.
The French magic of ministry.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
Okay, there's a lighthearted sort of direction of this film that I kind of noticed. I don't know if I appreciate it or not, but yeah. Is that every sort of, like, person that wasn't, like, involved with the story was just, like, people on the street just looking at Newt Scamander, just doing, hitting the ground or whatever, licking the ground. And it's just, like, they just don't care and walk away, or just, like, an actual, like, borderline terrorist event.
Yeah.
Just like that.
It was pretty insane.
Just walk away.
There's a couple of citywide events that go down that people kind of, like, mumble and are shocked about in the background for a second, and then they just, like, continue walking. Like, I was heavily paying attention to background
There's,
characters.
Like, barely stakes in this movie.
It was real
Like,
weird.
In the first one, they talked about, there's, like, a good 10-minute scene about, like, oh my god, this creature just destroyed this entire building, and it's just, like, a slow investigation of that.
Yeah.
But then when it gets to... In this movie, they just talk about how... They just talk about, like, their past and, like, how it affected them, but... They're just, like, kind of distant. Like, that's, like, a lot of this movie's inner conflict.
Yeah, the trailer totally milked that whole flashback. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So every time they go back to Hogwarts, Harrison and I would fake applaud.
Yeah, we'd flake applause.
We weren't bold enough to
actually
start
Ritter Meet his style.
But, you know, they bring back the classic theme and all of that.
The classic theme beat a rolling thing.
And you
it looked pretty good.
Down. It did.
Like, it was, like, brand new.
Hogwarts is looking cooler.
The lighting was weird. The lighting in this whole movie is just off.
I would agree with
that. When it went to, like, darkness, like, it starts off in, like, a really dark and stormy thing. That's, like, borderline seizure, but, like, I was kind of into it. Just like, ooh.
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking that. I was like, I'm going to flip out right now. I'm going to spaz out.
And it wasn't Incredibles 2, but...
Yeah. That was, oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, we're watching a scene from Half-Blood Prince right now for visual reference. And that movie only looks good in the snow because it's just white and everything's just gray and blurry. And this does the exact opposite of that, almost to combat, like, all the people that complain about David Yates' color, even though people are still complaining about it.
Even though David Yates is still
directing. Small spoiler alert, in the beginning of the film, we start off with the Ministry of Magic. And it was almost unrecognizable. Just, like, it was the time of day and, like, everything was just, like... day-litten.
Yeah.
And it just looked off. Like, it wasn't like the dark greens. Like, I watched Order of the Phoenix today, which is a great one. Really dark greens and blacks, which, like, does kind of work. It's a little bit desaturated, but there's, like, a point to it.
Yeah.
And then in Half-Blood Prince, it just becomes fuzzy gray and brown.
Oh my gosh. What was the deal with the weird animal at the beginning of the movie? Of Grindelwald's, like, pet thing.
Yeah, so...
So what was that?
Okay.
I don't want to get too...
Spoilers. Let's just do the first scene.
Okay.
Because if you don't have it explained to you, you might not know what it is.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it's very confusing.
Okay, so we start off, Grindelwald is imprisoned by the American Ministry. We go there in, like, a really, like, beautiful sort of, like, Batman animated series-esque. You sort of pan across, like, this really darkened sky with, like, red lighting.
He's in,
and
like,
a lot. It's very good.
Cell.
It's the Last Jedi of tone. You know, it just has, like, these wacky sort of, like, yeah, characters you care about. And then just, like, really dark and grim.
There's nothing that's, world-shattering, though. They don't do anything that, like, messes with the whole universe.
I mean, they do. The whole movie messes with the universe.
Well, I mean, it does.
Because it's a setup for...
It does.
Five movies.
But it's... Oh, well, okay, yeah. There's one big thing at the very end. We don't have to say
I think there's multiple things.
Well, yeah, okay, but
we'll get to it.
Harrison knows what I'm talking about, though. The last thing, though... That was too much for me.
Brutal.
I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah. But yeah, so it starts off and it's like really brutal. It's actually pretty well shot. It's like, this movie is very, looks well and is well shot. Which
CGI
wasn't exactly expecting it.
Pretty good.
But yeah, they're like carrying him through like this magic sort of prison. Everyone's like, oh, Grindelwald! Plotting it like it was Hogwarts return to life, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone was just applauding it like crazy. I was just like, yeah, we cut out his tongue because he's bad.
Yeah.
And then unsurprisingly, he is a guy.
Yeah.
He switched places with a bit part from the last film, which was, like, fine. But now his job is that he awkwardly sits around and is sweating.
Yep.
Like, that's the rest of his character. That's every other bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, in Half-Blood Prince, there's, like, a lot of the scenes where... This is the Half-Blood Prince of, like, the new set of movies, except it looks way better. And is, like, a little bit better acted, I think? Well, hold on. There's... More focused performances?
I would say that, yeah. I wouldn't say better acted. There's just more...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at least the main two people have chemistry in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh. Ginny and Harry Potter.
Ginny and Harry Potter.
They're classic. They're classic lovebirds.
Classic.
Yeah, I mean, you know it's a good love scene when it makes you uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah.
Whenever they're the two characters...
When their backs are just completely straight at some point.
You know it's sad when Dean and Ginny have more chemistry. They're not even really shown together. You just know that they are.
Well, they were, like, used for, like, one joke to further Ron and Hermione's awkward thing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just smacking lips.
Yep.
Like, pretty hardcore. And then he's just like, ah, what if we did that? It would be fine. Ugh. And then Ron's just like...
That's also an uncomfortable situation.
But yeah, like, as I was saying, with the Half-Blood Prince, you know, all the bad guys sort of just kind of stand around, like, a library room. Or, like, a lounge.
Yep.
It's just, like...
Yeah, they're just kind
of
there.
You're not true to the cause of Voldemort, you know?
Yeah.
But there's, like, no, like, uncertainty with, like, these people. Like, these people are so bland. Of course they're with Grindelwald. They're just there to kill kids or whatever.
Right. Yeah, no, they're pretty... Yeah, they're just in the background.
They're just cold, sweaty, and callous.
Yeah, and that's... There's no development to, like, why they're even there or who they
are. Yeah, it's just, like, yeah, Grindelwald's just this really engaging personality that's played by Johnny Depp.
And now we have, oh gosh. Harrison can't even say the words
it's
Johnny
heated.
Depp. Harrison, so explain to me, why do you hate Johnny Depp as Grindelwald?
He just looks so dumb. Just like,
with his, like, white hair and stuff.
But that's not what you need for, like, Grindelwald. You need, like, a pretty engaging... Like, Ralph Fiennes did a very good job as Voldemort, even though Voldemort on paper is a little bit bland.
He did good.
A little bit
Ralph
flat.
Fiennes was good, yeah. I liked him a lot. He got
had, like, a presence.
Old, though, at the end of
Yeah,
the
but then... Yeah. Like, Grindelwald is always... Is, like, definitely written as, like, this guy that can, you know, talk anybody into what he wants to do. He can manipulate everyone. He's very charismatic. And, like, very caring.
Right.
But he was just, like, so cold and callous.
Yeah, he was very
standoffish. Like, for every scene.
And flat, too. He didn't really, like...
You know, we're gonna do full spoilers for this movie. You shouldn't care about spoilers for this damn movie. For this goddamn movie.
Hey guys, Harrison here. I just wanted to say before we get into the rest of this review that just ended up talking about the plot, because that's the worst part and the only part to talk about in this movie. Because it just gets in the way of literally anything good about it. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of spoilers, but you shouldn't care about spoilers. Because it's just about people getting punished for their crimes. Like how I was punished for being a fan of the first Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, so yeah, if you're not interested, come back next week. And if you're not, we have some good points, but it's kind of muddled about how truly painful it is to talk about this film. Or you can just wait till the next Fantastic Beasts. That's all this movie is. Really tells you is to watch the next Fantastic Beasts.
Okay, so the last scene, I just want to break down Grindelwald scenes. Actually, we'll do a character by character because that's how this movie is divided up. Because it's just a set of character stories. There's no actual real plot. There's no main plot that gets resolved at all.
I would agree. Yeah, it's just a setup.
Yeah.
For
so
other
Grindelwald
movies.
Is the title character, the titular Crimes of Grindelwald, and he. His first scene is, like, the big prison escape thing. Is like, yeah, it's pretty threatening. And then he has his weird kind of jokes. He has these kind of jokes, like how Hux had in The Last Jedi, where he's, like, talking to this little dragon thing that was holding him.
Yeah.
That's main power is just doing a field where they can't escape, but it doesn't do that on the actual... Like, he's just, like, the dragon's just there to bite.
Yeah, it's just, like, this creepy
one of the
little
guys that doesn't
lizard
even die.
Thing. Lizard dragon thing.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah, it bites a dude who doesn't die. And then he holds the lizard dragon, who seems to be, like, his pet.
Yeah, he's like, hey, he has a name for it. And he's just like, whoa, he's just like, needy little thing. And then callously throws it out.
And just throws it out the window.
Like,
and you're like...
And that's his whole performance.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing.
That was it. So there's, that whole build-up where you're like, oh, Grindelwald's got this creepy, cool little pet thing, is gone.
That's gonna protect him in, like, a thing, like a magical barrier.
Right.
That could trap somebody or something. That could play. He's like, nah, he just Avada Kedavra's people.
Yeah.
You know, and the next one, he's looking for a house, so he goes into, like, this posh French house where they just kill everyone, including the kid.
Yep.
And he's just like, oh, we don't have to kill the kid. Just as someone kills the kid. And he's just like, he just doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
Except for, like, you know, he doesn't care about anything. He acts like he doesn't care about anything. You know, he's always written, like, all these speeches, like, all those hokey...
Right.
Villain writing of just like, no, I don't, I'm not selfish, I do everything for the people of the wizards.
But he's clearly, like, very selfish and just doesn't care. Yeah, even, like, his own follower, it's not, like, at least, so, like, Voldemort, right, is, like, mean to his followers and, like, bad, and he wants power
and
stuff,
wants
but
to
everybody
kill everyone.
Knows that, though. Everyone's like, oh, Voldemort, like, wants to be in charge, and that's why we're gonna follow him, because I'd rather not get killed by him.
Yeah, I'd rather not get killed and
but
get some little bit of power.
Grindelwald's, like, not even threatening to kill his own people that much. Like, not saying he wouldn't.
Yeah, he just always says that, like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, he's
you don't
just,
have
like,
to kill anyone.
Yeah, he's just, like, passive.
He has no values.
Yeah.
Like, his values are, like, yeah, people should be free. And then just, like, he just kills whoever to, like, have, like, a nice apartment or something.
Right.
You know, that's, like, the one thing he does. And then he, like, kind of believes people he kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
He's wrong a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, he talks to Credence. He's trying to...
Well, he's trying to get to Credence.
Trying to get to Credence, so he hires a ministry guy.
Oh my gosh. The ministry guy.
Actually, we'll get back to their relationships.
Yeah.
We'll do Credence next. And then so basically Grindelwald goes, and he basically sets up a few dominoes to fall to have Credence fall towards him. So that way he can have it Obscurus, so that way he can kill Dumbledore. Like, that's his main goal of the movie.
Right.
Which is pretty good to have, like, a main motivation, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
if you want to end Dumbledore.
Yeah, if they just want to say it, and they say it. It's just like, yeah, Dumbledore's kill. I'm going to just need this Obscurus to just kill everything in Hogwarts, including him.
Yeah.
Like, that's his main plan. Yeah, and then he just talks about his other lackeys, and they're just like, oh, Dumbledore?
Yeah.
Like, they just gotta kill him, and he's just like, yeah, well, you know, it's dangerous. And I can't do it, because it'll be revealed later.
Yeah.
He has, actually, they did do a good job of just, like, having a few relationships with him. And, like, having a few relationships with key characters, and those, like, kind of don't get in the way of each other until the very end, where they're just smashed together.
Right.
Because in the final scene, a classic, with a good villain, you know, it'd be just, like, a, just, like, packed, a pack stands in front of, like, his big speech about how things are cool. But he just goes up on stage, vapes World War II, and then...
Vapes World War II.
And then goes. And then says, hey, stay sick. Spread the word, finger guns, and then he just kills all the Auras with, like, fire dragons.
Yeah, pretty much.
He and just then is that messy in the film, too.
The worst part, though, is with the ring of stupid flames he has. So, like, in the trailer, you see, like, the blue flames. That's all that is. It's just a ring of flames. And then he's not really... He's just kind of spinning. He's, like, slowly turning around in a circle as the camera follows it. You know, looking around at the different characters?
Yeah.
And the flames just go up and, like, slowly kill off the Aurors.
Yeah.
And the Aurors just, like, run away. They don't even fight it.
Yeah, but, like, but he's not letting them escape.
It's just...
He's, like, scared. He just waits. Yeah, so Grindelwald's main strategy of this scene is that he wants one of the Aurors to kill, like, somebody in the crowds. And they do. Because they're idiots.
That's fair. Yeah.
And then...
That does happen, yeah.
Yeah, so that just sets off a revolution. But it's like a self-defense
thing, though, which is...
Totally revolution.
Revolution, air quotes, that's right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
The most anticlimactic, probably, end scene I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, the movie wants to have everybody that's not Newt, or Jacob, or Tina, or, to an extent, Queenie, just be the bad guy.
Yep.
Yeah. And everyone else is just painted as, like, kind of a jerk. But, like, they have one quality that makes it okay, you know? Like, the only one that ends up, like, an actual good person is, like, the brother Theseus.
I didn't even know. Theseus. He's, like, they try to paint him as a bad character the whole movie. And he's not. He does nothing wrong.
Yeah. Ever. And then people just, like, understand it by the end of the movie, which is good.
But I feel like I understood him in the first scene.
Yeah. We'll get to that, actually.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, like, who's the next character?
We just watched this on the screen. One of my favorite moments about Half-Blood Prince is when Hermione uses Bird, just says, like, a phrase to get birds to Kamikaze Ron.
Kamikaze Ron? I like afterward. How Hermione's, like, a caring person.
Yeah, she, like, cares about all the house elves and everything, but in then the she books, just kills and then birds.
She just, like, straight up murders birds.
Just, like, a flock of family birds.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, for just, like...
Why don't you shoot your wand at him or something? It feels like...
Well, yeah, just smack him.
Yeah, I don't honestly understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking, I just wanted to lead that into the beasts of this movie. Grindelwald uses, like, beasts, like fire dragons at the end, and it's like...
They're not even real beasts.
God, this movie's so messy, I can't even talk about it. I need to pull up a summary.
It's just a spell. That's all they're not even real animals, or, like, real magic animals or whatever. It's just his stupid dragon spell, and the whole last scene is, like, he's gone, and then there's a bunch of these blue fire dragons... And the good guys have a bunch of red fire, and they're just trying to, like, block the fire dragon, and then eventually they do, and it's pointless.
Okay, listen, okay. Jesus. Man, okay, Grindelwald's story's done. You know, he just sort of is threatening a lot, and, like, leaves on his power, and then he goes, and then he gets Credence to go out of there. We'll get to Credence in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the problems with Grindelwald is that it's badly acted, badly written, bad thing. It doesn't, like, give any juxtaposition to, like, any of the ideals of anybody, because he doesn't have any ideals to juxtapose, you know? Like, in the last one, everyone against Newt is against beasts, because they think they're dangerous and he thinks it's causing him. But then, really, it's just this, like, other secret twist of, like, Credence is, like, oh, he's accidentally destroying things, like, kind of proving just, like, oh, this is, like, the extremes of, like, how beasts are dangerous and what he wants to help them with.
Right.
And then any ministry in these movies are bad, and they just try to kill him off.
Yeah.
Actually, let's go through Jacob's stuff.
Okay.
Because he's, like, kind of in the background, and, like, the last act kind of does actually forget him.
Pretty much.
Which is ridiculous. He shows
up, yeah.
Yeah.
So he shows up.
So he shows up with Queenie. Queenie's like, oh, it's so fantastic. We're going to get married. And he's clearly, like, hexed by her again.
Yeah.
And this happens constantly. And he's just like, oh, that's not great, but we just can't get married. That's not really a good idea. Because, you know, I'm a baker, and you're a wizard.
Muggles.
A witch, I mean.
No magiques cannot marry. Yeah.
No magiques cannot marry wizards.
Wizards, yeah.
Wizards.
So, that's the whole conflict with them.
Yeah, and then they just, they can't.
Then they split up.
And then they don't talk about it. He's like, I'm going to talk to Tina. And then Queenie gets lost for, like, half a day.
Yep.
And then Grindelwald's supporters just, like, grab her.
Yep.
Well, not grab her, just, like, help her.
Help her, yeah. And then, like, she gets, like, seduced.
Yeah, and then Grindelwald talks to her for, like, a minute. And he's like, oh, get it. He's so persuasive. He's so that. But he just talks it the same way he talks about his evil plans, the same way he talks to everybody.
Yeah.
So, and people just sort of believe, just, like, he just is so vague about everything. He's just like, you want to love, don't you? You want to be free to love. And she's like, yeah, a little bit. You're just like
lots of people.
That's, you could kill people who don't want that.
Yeah. It's poorly done, his persuasion. And you're like, I'm not convinced.
I'm not really persuaded.
But, okay. I could see how that would not work on anybody in real life.
Has that same sort of weird, distant smile he does for, like, a lot of his characters that aren't Jack Sparrow. Just like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, then after Queenie goes through Hulur... Yeah, actually, honestly, Queenie's whole story is really boring.
Yeah, it's very boring. It's supposed to... This whole movie just acts like you care regardless.
Yeah.
Like, it does all these sort of changing characters.
It does nothing to earn our trust
in our stories.
It just, like, assumes that we're already super invested.
Yeah, assumes that all these emotional cruxes are just...
Yeah. Problem with it, though, too, is that it's like... Like we're saying, you assume that we love all these characters in this universe. It's like, well, first of all, now you're in France. So you're not even in America anymore.
Yeah, you're not setting up France at all.
We're just in
The only thing
France,
that sets up
now.
About France in this movie is, like, New York is a backdrop. It's a location. Like, I think these movies would be great if there was just where to find Fantastic Beasts in Paris, France. You know, just an all-over...
Yeah.
Like, a really widespread global sort of race
against
Grindelwald would have been a very good film. Like, it starts off in New York. Which is, like, a pretty big pivotal role of, like... Like, all the characters are defined by, like, how New York they are.
Right.
Like, Jacob, as we were talking about, is, like, a New York guy. He's just along to just help out.
Tina and Queenie.
You know, a little strong. Is, like, a little bit confused, but, like, feels that wonder.
Yeah.
Of magic that we get introduced to again after so many years. And in this movie, he just does kind of the same stuff, but, like, with a bit more nuance this time. He's very... They're definitely rock solid, like, dude and him... Are just a rock solid team.
Yeah.
And just, like, really good pair.
They are good friends, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, like, on the other, Half-Blood Prince is, like, all about, like, their relationships with each other. Like, the main one is, like, sort of romantic confusion, which is what drives, like, two of the 20 conflicts in this film.
Half-Blood Prince, or what are you talking about right now?
Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the only way I can, like, think about the structure of this movie is compared to Half-Blood Prince. Because it's just, like, a five-act setup for five movies.
No, it's...
That's all Fantastic Beasts
is. That's the problem with watching it, too, is, like, you're at the end scene, and you're like, oh, no. This has to be the end of the movie.
I did laugh.
It's been about a few hours, and then you know
just,
that nothing's going to be
just
resolved.
Just laugh. I did generally find it really funny how it was ending.
I saw that... And I was like, oh, the fire's just gonna... Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, they're not actually... Oh, they're fighting...
Oh, that's the problem.
Oh, they're
okay,
fighting a
not,
fire.
Not the gay wizard Hitler.
Yeah, they're not...
The problem is the fire.
The fire, because the wizard Hitler escaped. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of character arcs going on with... So there's this other character... Oh, shoot, what's her name?
Lita Lestrange.
Lita Lestrange.
Was, you know, it was a seed planted in Fantastic Beasts... Big Isle of Mystery, played by Joey Kravets, which, as an actress, has done bad stuff, and now has done more bad stuff. She's the boring one, I think. I presume.
Probably, I don't know.
I can't imagine her being funny.
It was just, yeah, her whole character in that movie was...
Yeah, her character
so
was
pointless.
Written to be
She's
the
a...
real sympathetic, emotional crux of the film.
Right, but you have no emotional connection to her whatsoever anyways.
Yeah, they just throw, like, all this tragedy at her.
And then it turns out that her whole story arc doesn't even connect with the main character, so it doesn't really matter.
Well
not the main character, sorry, but, like,
But, like, the story, like, the main sort of big questions that the film tells you to ask.
Yeah, and it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Do you have a terrible answer?
And then it comes out of nowhere.
This movie is, like, sort of the epitome of, like, J.K. Rowling's approach to, like, the Harry Potter canon afterward. Like, she always wants to tell you what questions you should be asking, and then tells you an answer that you didn't want.
Exactly, yeah. She takes fan theories and questions, and she's like, oh, these are really good bases for, like, ideas. And then she just, like, throws those out and gives you something else that has no backstory whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. There's just a lot of character homages, too. Like, they have young McGonagall and a couple.
Yeah.
She's, like, kind of in the background.
They're, like, pretty... Like, every actor's, like... Except for Johnny... Every actor casted in this film is very good and, like, young.
Oh, like, yeah.
Newt Scamander was cast as a young actor.
That was good.
And he was fantastic. Yeah. Like, that kid was spot on. The kid
that played Newt Scamander.
Dead on to Oscar winner good. Eddie Redmayne, which is always a thing.
He did very good.
And then Leto was bland enough that the young actress did a better job than her.
Yeah.
I think.
I would agree. She was pretty good.
Yeah, Jude Law is a fantastic Dumbledore.
Jude Law is very... Yeah, okay. Talking about good things about this movie.
Yeah.
Jude Law's Dumbledore, very good choice.
Very good.
He does a good job.
He's very sort of whimsical until he's just, like, kind of bummed out.
Yeah.
And, like, fearful. There's, like, more than just...
He's, like, more...
That going on.
He's less wise as Dumbledore, but you can still tell that that's Dumbledore, though.
Yeah, he knows the right way to... I don't want to say he's less wise. I think he knows, like, the right way to do things.
I think he does. I think he's just more fearful.
He just knows what he can't do.
And stuck. Yeah.
Yeah, stuck in whatever.
Yeah.
Deal he had going on.
Yeah. For sure. He's... Yeah, he's a good character, though.
Yeah, Dumbledore's pretty good. Newt Scamander, Jacob, Tina are all pretty good.
Yeah.
Tina gets a lot less stuff to do, which is saying something from the last Fantastic Beasts.
That was kind of a bummer.
Like, in the first one, like, she should have had way more to do. She was very good. She had some good stuff.
She doesn't show up till later.
There's a little bit more than that. And then in the second one, it's just that, but less.
Right.
Which
pretty
is
much.
Which is really disappointing. But yeah, she's always good, has great chemistry with everyone in Newt. Like, that was, like, the last emotional thing that, like, kind of mattered.
Yeah.
Was, like, there's, like, an interaction or two with her and Newt.
Yep.
Which is how this movie sort of cared about, and then everything else just became...
Yeah, that's the only relevant
story,
part.
Just world-telling.
Yeah.
Of everything.
But doing, like, a poor job at setting up backgrounds for other places.
this movie has practically no world-building.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like, any sort of world... building that happened in the previous movies, and they know that you nerds know that.
And all they built really
was just telling you about some stuff in France.
Yeah.
And some and then some stuff about their past.
It's like saying I can imagine what the French Ministry of Magic would be like. I would just imagine that. Like you accept that if New York has one and London's got one, France has one too.
Yeah.
And that's all this movie does is confirm that.
Just confirm
suspicion
that.
Doesn't do anything to
it's just
like make that make sense. Oh, so what's the deal with that old chick that's at the secretary desk?
So there's a secretary
the
at the desk.
That's so weird. She clearly knows. So what's this? Newt and Tina are sneaking into the ministry towards the end,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Oh, I am." Newt pretends to be his brother.
Yeah,
and they look like they're themselves, and then they say that Tina is Leta. Leta is African-American, just for your... So, like, they're clearly different people.
Different individuals.
Yeah. And then this old lady at the desk is like, okay, go ahead. But she's, like, kind of creepy. And then turns out she knows that they're imposters. And...
Yeah.
Like,
and then she's just like, it just sets a trap for her familiars, which is a thing now.
Yeah.
I've never heard about that in Harry Potter before. Just, like... Siamese cats.
With weird eyes.
With just, like, you know, classic Egyptian sculpture eyes.
Yeah.
Just, like, ready to attack. And then a pretty fun action sequence comes from that, so you can't really...
That's actually pretty good, yeah.
...complain, I guess.
But, yeah. That one character is just...
Yeah, every bystander in these movies are just, like, some guy that's just, like, gotta get to work that one day, just doesn't care about anything else wizarding.
Right.
Or just, like, a creepy snake lady that's gonna...
Yeah.
...chomp on him.
Oh my gosh, speaking of snake ladies, they introduced the character Nagini... She's friends with Credence at the circus.
That was her name?
Nagini, yeah. She's Voldemort's
snake.
Yeah,
she only
said
it once. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Voldemort's snake?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like,
the whole point of that character.
Yeah, because one of the exposition from one of it was just like, yeah, and one day she'll be a snake forever. Never.
Right. You're like, okay. So there's a lot of just that happening. Like, we're going to throw out this character that you all know.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to give you a little backstory on that character.
Guess what? Nagini, she's tragic like everybody else in this film.
Does Nagini even have a line? I don't even know if she
yeah,
says.
She does. She's like, Credence, you're a good person.
Oh, yeah, she says, like, yeah, I guess
Credence,
she's
this is your mother. Credence.
Credence, Credence, Credence.
She's bad.
She just follows Credence around. Yeah.
Credence.
It seems like Nagini's got some interesting moral compass going on. At least in this
film. Has one.
So I don't know how she becomes Voldemort's snake Horcrux later.
Probably just a...
I want to see them twist snake. That around. She's this could be interesting.
Gets like, does the Voldemort head just sort of swivel?
Yeah.
And then just becomes this full-time snake.
That's, well, that's an unfortunate way to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, that character is totally pointless. She's just there with Credence.
Yeah.
And like, doesn't help Credence really with anything.
It was a cool effect for a bit.
It was.
Everybody's that's a cool true. Effect in this film.
That's fair.
Which is something.
I would say the one character cameo I was very appreciative of was Nicholas Flamel. I thought that was just funny. That he's immortal, but his, like, bones age like normal, so he's just really old and weak.
Yeah, there's just this old alchemist
that,
like, is set up, like, he sort of looks in a crystal ball. It's a prophecy about how the film's going to end, because it's like, ooh, what a stinger. What a stinger to this film I'm going
to
be forced to finish.
To be in, yeah.
Yeah, and then he solves the problem, kind of.
And it doesn't really explain who Nicholas Flamel is, though, still.
Yeah.
I've never got that, even from, like, the books.
Yeah, what is he in the books?
Yeah, he's in, like, the first one. I think he is doing stuff with the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually, you remember? Do you remember that? No. Oh, no. Nicholas Flamel's, like, a real character from the book.
Yeah.
Like, he's only talked about, though.
Okay.
So, we already know he's, like, an alchemist and stuff. So he, like, pops up. That's why people were like, when he showed up. In the movies, because Nicholas Flamel's like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, he's a comic relief guy.
Yeah, he's pretty much just kind of funny and really old.
Yeah.
Like 375 years old or something. But, yeah, he was interesting. He just kind of showed up.
I'm already bored thinking about this movie. Oh, I'll talk about another thing I like. We go to Newt's apartment, and like that whole... Like, this movie, like the beginning of this movie is very good. Because setup is in the beginning and not the whole movie. But the setup just keeps happening throughout the movie.
Right.
So the movie just generally drains you.
That's so well worded. So you're like, oh, sweet, okay, we know what's going on. You're like, oh, shoot, they're still making up crap. No one's answering any of these questions that are coming up.
Yeah.
And then they try to fit all of the conclusions into like a 10-minute
dialogue flashback.
And then it turns out it doesn't matter anyways. And it's pointless.
Okay, so it does that thing in Harry Potter films where, like, the background fades across, and then it shows, like, what one of the characters is talking about.
It doesn't. It does that in the memory scenes, I think, but does it actually...
Well, it did sort of, like, a pseudo-version of that. Like, yeah, in the memory scenes, they look in the sort of, like, memory pot. Exposition pot.
Oh, you're talking about...
Dumbledore's office. But in, like, Fantastic Beasts, they just do...
Yeah.
They just do that effect around when a guy's just telling everyone their story, but they're obviously not seeing it.
No one's seeing that, except
and then
the
we're
audience.
Just seeing... Yeah. Seeing a... That's probably the most bland-looking part, which is really weird.
It just doesn't make sense to, like, the whole plot.
It's like the man's flashback.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. It was French.
Yeah, something.
Fella that was a Lestrange? No.
He is a Lestrange. No, he's not.
He was one of the pure bloods.
He's a pure blood, but his... sister is half Lestrange or whatever.
Yeah, half Lestrange.
Yeah, he's, also kind of...
Yeah, it just got really dark.
It got
very
real
quickly.
Dark and real kind of pointless.
I think edgy, actually. It got very edgy.
It tried
like,
to
the whole
edgy.
Thing was that,
it's
like...
Edginess.
The reason Joey Kravitz's character just sucks and is kind of sad all the time and people make fun of her is that... Actually, I'll go in order of the actual flashbacks, even though it was the wrong order to go. So, there's a detective in France that Tina meets, and he's like, yeah, maybe we can work together, but then he's a bad guy.
Because
he's like, oh,
he has
to kill Credence, because everybody needs to kill Credence.
Yeah.
You know? But he had sort of like a unbreakable vow with his father to kill, like, some tycoon that, like, mind controlled his mother and then raped her.
Yep.
And then had a baby with her. Yeah, very edgy sort of historical stuff.
You think that would happen a lot more often.
And it's kind of racially charged, too. Which, yeah. That wasn't very good to have in a movie.
Yeah.
For children, relatively, I don't think. But...
Yeah, I'd say that's... Yeah. Because the first
Because there wasn't a point to it. They don't address it, but it's like...
There's not really...
Yeah.
He's got this whole vendetta that turns out that, like...
Yeah, his mother was just enslaved against her own will.
Pretty much.
Like, illegal magic.
Yeah.
And then that baby is that, and then she dies.
Yeah.
And then the guy has another baby, which is a boy.
Right.
Which is, people think is Credence throughout the movie, because, and we know that because people always talk about the rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half of this, I want to say half the exposition, because this movie's all exposition. But a lot of the exposition is just talking about, oh, do you not know of the rumors?
Yeah.
You know, I think the only time that ever worked was in Isle of Dogs, when Jeff Goldblum's character is just like, hey, you heard about that guy, right? He's just like, oh, what gossip? And it's just Jeff Goldblum talking about gossip. And that's how they got around that.
Goodness.
But yeah, he goes to search for a person that was loved by this really tycoon, this really, I can't really describe the tycoon. What's a word for it? Not white supremacist, but...
Well, what was it, like the...
White privileged. Tens? Yeah, just like the white privileged French.
I don't even know what he was. Probably some...
Yeah, he was very rude.
Famous dude.
But he only loved his son, and...
Yeah.
And then it was revealed that because he loved his son, the French detective had to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he made an unbreakable vow to kill one person he loved.
Yeah.
And so he had to find the son because the daughter was never loved. Zoe Kravitz was never loved.
Right.
And yeah, but then another flashback happens inside of that where she interrupts him and he's just like, no, I didn't do it. Like, it did the thing in scenes because it was a terrible... thing in writing where it's just like, come on, I know he's your brother, and then he's just like, no, it's just like, it's the truth, and then they go, it isn't, and it's just like, of course it's the truth, and then they do a sad face, like look at the ground, just like a,
yeah.
And then it goes again, it's just like, how could you not know, it's like, cause I killed him, cause they just don't say it.
Right.
They just don't say it to the very end to build some really artificial suspense in the scene.
But everybody knows. It's like, oh, she probably like killed her brother or accidentally killed her brother.
Yeah, accidentally killed her brother. What? And it's revealed that very convolutedly, she's on a cruise ship with her maid and her brother who cries all the time.
Yep.
And during, when everyone's distracted by the ship presumably crashing, she switches her brother with another baby that's not crying, just to have a moment of silence.
Yeah.
So the maid just takes that baby, just takes that baby off the ship because the ship is crashing.
And they're on lifeboat boats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's another lifeboat where that mother is holding the actual baby brother.
Yep.
And then the baby drowns. You see a baby drown.
Yeah.
And it just shows that just very beautifully shot, just sort of shot of just sinking to the bottom of the ocean.
Yep.
Which J.K. Rowling thinks was a payoff, because in a previous flashback to Hogwarts,
yeah,
they did the Bogart thing, which was actually pretty well done.
The Bogart, no, it is good.
The flashbacks at Hogwarts are really well done, where Scamander goes up, he's afraid of working in office,
yeah,
and then it creates a really cool dragon, which perfectly just sort of represents that. It'd be great if they started off the film with that.
Yeah,
I think
that's what I thought they were gonna do. Actually, start with the flashbacks.
Yeah,
and then like, but anyways, yeah,
that's
the lead of Lestrange's fear was the. The baby drowning.
Yeah, you just see, like, a full-grown man just in a cloth slowly gliding down.
Something's, like, gliding down, yeah. And then you're like, okay. Anyway, so you have all this background. It turns out Credence is not related to Leader Lestrange at all.
Which, that scene also breaks the rules of the Bogart, because I watch Harry Potter 3. I watch Prisoner of Azkaban, which is next-level cinema.
It is next-level cinema.
But yeah, it goes to that, and it just, like, darkens the entire room. So that way it creates, like, this whole, like, artificial rigging, lighting setup for this, like, one beautiful sort of, like, gliding down of a death.
Right.
But then Bogart's, like, can't do that. Like, in the third one, it goes to, like, a full moon.
Yeah.
But it doesn't darken the entire room. It doesn't change reality.
It just shows...
It's just that
what
thing.
What you're afraid of, yeah. Yeah. It was a weird, scene. But, anyways, yeah, so you find that out, and then it turns out Credence is just some random kid. Or is he a random Kip?
Random Kip. So let's go to Credence's story. Good segue.
Yes.
So Credence's story starts off, he's in the circus. He's escaped New York. Snake Plissken style. And he's in the circus with a hot snake lady.
Yep.
You know, we talked about it earlier. And he's just like, hey, I found the address of my mother. We should go tonight. And she's like, yeah.
They're like slaves, though.
Yeah, they're enslaved because it's a mean circus of magic.
Yeah.
And the guy has a big, goofy beard.
I don't know who would go to a magic circus. That sounds kind of dumb.
Honestly. I mean, it looked pretty fun.
It looked fun, but at that point, though, it's like, couldn't you just do that at home? You're like, you're magic and stuff.
Nah, it was like the 20s. Everyone was poor.
I guess that's fair.
Because it was whatever.
That's true. That's true. Well, yeah, it's a weird circus. It's got a bunch of weird animals in it. And then
he makes
Nagini turn into a snake to show people and stuff. And he's kind of mean.
Yeah, he's just kind of mean. Kind of. That whole scene is kind of.
Yep. And then.
It's like, oh, they kind of love each other. They kind of care. Credence is kind of clever. Releases some things that are kind of dangerous.
Yeah, and then she kind of attacks the circus guy, but doesn't kill
him. Kind of attacks the circus guy's shoulder.
Yeah, hits the dude in the arm. They escape.
Yeah, Tina's kind of there, kind of trying to talk to Credence.
Yeah.
Then she kind of has to help a little bit. She puts out one fire.
Yeah, kind of does nothing.
This entire.
And then there's no cops or anything. They're just like, oh, shoot. And this guy just packs up, kind of packs up.
Like this literal thing. God beast.
Yeah.
Not a god beast. There's actual god beasts in Harry Potter, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, some pretty
they just let that thing
brutal
go.
Creature that's
you're
just...
Like, whoa. Okay. So that thing escapes, but then, yeah, so Credence and Nagini go find the apartment where his mother's at.
Yeah, but his mother is actually... But his mother is not there. She is long dead.
Yes. But he sees the maid.
She sees his maid that raised him. That's very nice. Very kind. Has, like, four fingers, which is
She's
pretty interesting.
Half elf, half human.
Yeah. Half elf, half human. And sort of like, she goes to like, they have like a pretty warm embrace, and he's like, oh, he's finally found something to love. And then, crap, I gotta explain something else in this goddamn movie.
The ministry.
So the ministry, okay, we have to rewind here. So Newt goes to the ministry he wants to travel again. Because it's got revoked because he destroyed half of New York.
Yeah.
That's because they just blame him for that, holy. So they have to go, and he's going into the British Ministry of Magic, which is completely washed out with color. It is really strange.
Yeah.
Like, really bright lit, and that whole scene is pretty well done. He talks to Lestrange and his brother Theseus, we're introduced to.
Yeah.
Who's, like, pretty strong man, sort of war hero.
Yeah.
That sort of name dropped in the previous film.
Yeah.
And his whole thing was done. Like, it does a really good thing camera effect where it zooms in really close on, like, Joey Kravitz's face. So, like, he kind of, like, perceives, like, her a little bit closer. And, like, pretty focused on that. He has to, like, focus really hard on people. And then Theseus is way too close to the camera.
Theseus
which is a pretty good...
so close. It's, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah. And he's just, like, trying to get his unemployed brother a job.
Yeah.
At the ministry as an orr. But Newt's commander's like, oh, I don't really do sides. That's not really my thing. He's not really a fighter.
Yeah.
But yeah. They think Newt Scamander, because he's the one that took down Grindelwald, technically. He's gotten pretty big because of that. Because he, like, technically.
So people want him.
Got that pretty good. And he's like, yeah, we need you to go and kill Credence. And he's just like, no.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fine, we'll do this guy that's clearly bad. Comes out in, like, this room with no doorway.
Yeah.
Just is hiding behind this pillar, and then comes out. He's just like, oh, Newt. Don't want to hurt him, do you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect anything less from a coward.
Yeah.
Just like, why is he here? I don't think I don't even remember hearing his name.
Nope, I don't remember the name. They might have said it once.
I don't even think Newt and Theseus are like, don't like him. It's like, how could you trust him? And he's just like, oh, he's fine. He's got to do the job because he won't.
Yeah, everyone's like, just like, clearly doesn't like this dude, but they employed him anyways.
And then a awkward hug later cuts back to the scene. He's just like, oh. So I guess I got the job, and then everyone just looks at him like he's an asshole, because he is.
Yeah.
And he's just like... And then he's not seen until...
That scene with Credence and the maid.
Until Credence is the maid. Yeah, we're back to the maid. He's sneaking around. He goes into the wall. He's like, oh, this guy's really powerful.
Yeah, apparently people can do that now. They can just
apparently
go inside walls.
And then he grabs a snake lady in there. It's pretty intense. And then he Avada Kedavra's... He tries to Avada Kedavra him, supposedly.
not... Yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
but then clearly, he gets the maid.
Yeah, he gets the maid. Maid's dead, and then he, like, torments Credence for a second. He, like, puts a little bubble shield around him.
Yeah, he puts, like, the little bubble shield around.
And Credence goes in obelisk form and, like, tries to kill
him. Which is supposedly the most raw and powerful thing.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there with, like, a shield bubble. Like, nah, man, it doesn't matter.
He's just laughing, and then he just apparates out.
Yeah,
like,
there's
no problem.
Like, peace.
Okay, so bubbles can... You apparates, too, okay?
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And then it turns out... Oh no, shocker.
Yeah,
sleazy
and
guy works
later,
for Grindelwald.
We go to like a waterfront alleyway.
Yeah, waterfront alleyway.
No, not alleyway, tunnel.
Oh,
waterfront
yeah.
tunnel. And Grindelwald's there. It's just like, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
People will think you are cowardly, but you are strong for not listening to the cowards.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
thanks, man.
God, I gotta go back to work.
Yeah,
and then he just
coach.
Goes.
Yeah. And then just
don't see him for the rest of the movie.
Pieces out.
Yeah, Ministry just accepts that he missed.
Right.
And he's just like, yeah, I just made him a lot more angry.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah.
Just walks away.
So now Credence is all pissed about that.
So he's sat on a rooftop.
Yep.
Looking after something. I don't know. He grabbed, like, something. Looking at something, hanging with the snake lady, which they have a little bit of chemistry.
They actually do.
Yeah, so Grindelwald is like, oh, I'm not... Does the line he says so much, and I hate it so goddamn much. He's just like, oh, I'm not here to help myself. But you may be.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that was a little bit too much emotion. Help yourself, but you may be. I'd like to help. And then, yeah, he just gives him a paper to the meeting, which is like a map. That, Yeah, and then the entire town gets covered in these drapes that are like Grindelwald drapes.
Oh,
but they don't say anything
gosh.
Except for like a raven. He's just like, what does that mean?
Yeah, no,
he doesn't even show
I
a map.
No idea that under,
it's just like,
and
nobody,
nobody
cares.
Reacts. They look at it for like a second. They're like, oh crap.
Yeah, that's every bystander, like the direction in this movie.
And
it's just like on the sidewalk, they just look at whatever's going on. Just like, and then just keep walking.
And they just like keep going. They're like, oh yeah, it's another Tuesday in Paris, apparently. Well, oh my gosh, that main character's the best part. Just Newt and, like, Tina are, like, you know, obviously still shooken up about the whole drapes issue that's going on. And, like, you can still see them, like, kind of going back in the background, like, the drapes. And then everybody else in the movie is just walking, like, there's, like, a couple with, like, a dog. And they're just going in, there's someone having, like, a casual conversation, some people selling stuff. Like, what? Like, you can still see drapes moving over all these buildings, and they're just going about their lives like nothing matters.
Yeah. I don't know what the point of that is.
I did not understand
There's
that.
Like some visuals to some of it, I guess.
I don't know. You shouldn't be... Oh my gosh. It's...
Yeah.
What?
Like, Queenie's the only one that notices, like, oh, that has a Grindelwald symbol. I guess I know where the meeting is now.
Well, with, like, the Death Star... Death Mark? What is it?
The Dark Mark.
Dark Mark, thank you. When that goes up, people appropriately, like, freak out.
Yeah, I wrote
out.
A Harry Potter fan fiction. I know the names.
Well, everyone, like, freaks out about it, though, right? You know, like...
Yeah.
It's not
like,
just the main characters that are like, oh, shoot, look at that. Like, oh, it's still up in the sky and it's still a problem. It gets in, like, the paper. You know,
yeah,
all
like,
of these...
people are afraid
everyone
and
knows
care.
That this is a problem. And then with the stupid...
I don't know. I guess David Yates just,
the city.
Like... She's on the megaphone, just like... Yeah, it's CGI. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's fine.
Hey, you with the dog. Be a little bit happier.
Yeah, I just imagine, like, 100 background characters in a green screen, and they just don't tell them what's going on. They're just like, just pretend like you're in a city, and you're just doing, like,
you're
daily
in
business.
France.
That's it. There you go. We got it.
But why is Eddie Redmayne looking so scared?
Why? Don't worry about it.
Just don't worry about it.
You can be replaced. I can find anybody.
You see everybody here?
To
they don't care. That's what you should be doing.
I see one dude. I'd pay to see that. One background character like, excuse me!
Just doing the Macaulay Culkin hands on the face, just like...
just looking around.
I can't believe this! Just gestures to
maybe,
the entire background.
Maybe it's one of those, like... the group mentality things where no one calls the cops because they think
someone
else
else's problem field from Hitchhiker's guy.
Someone else would probably do it.
Yeah, so yeah. And
yeah,
that's...
It was
and then... We're still on Credence's arc. So he goes to the meeting. No. He goes to the tomb, which everybody just ends up there.
Right.
That's some real foresight on J.K. Rowling's part, just having everybody just stand around.
In a tomb.
In, like, a dramatic stance.
Yep.
Which everybody is. And then Newt comes in and is just like, what? And they're just like, nah, fine. We'll go to the tomb. We gotta explain this, all right? Can't do this in this crowded hallway.
Right.
They go to this open tomb where... I'll go to Lita's story in a second. So, yeah, they're starting, and Credence hears that the whole story about how the real brother drowned.
Right.
And then he just got switched out, and he's just like, uh-huh. And he's just, like, even more upset.
Yeah, he's like, oh, great, now I don't know anything else about myself. Oh, it's like,
I guess Grindelwald's the only way I'll know.
Right. And so...
So the meeting is, like, right in there.
Yeah, it's under... It's, like, under...
Grindelwald says his dumb speech about vaping World War II.
Yeah.
And...
his
just
skull hookah machine.
Okay,
or whatever.
So I actually shouldn't just say jokes because it's a lot more stupid saying the actual thing. So Grindelwald has somebody awkwardly hold this skull, glowing skull with like markings on it,
and
that has
got...
like a giant like regular tube. It's not like a magical tube or anything.
No, it's
like
a plastic
tube with a metal thing at the end.
Yeah,
that Grindelwald has to grab while somebody holds the skull.
And then he's like,
there's just one girl assigned to holding the skull the whole time, and he
rips a huge vape.
And he
just
like
blows it.
It's just like a cloud, and then it just happens, and then it just turns into just like a
nuclear
bomb.
And then for
like people walk into Auschwitz.
Yeah,
and
for
then
like
just all these predictions of horrors.
30 seconds, it's like a World War II documentary.
All the Blitz, which is like, oh, it's like the Blitz, which is like, what do you think about it? Pretty big deal when the wizards just ignore that happening.
Well, right.
Just like the London Blitz, they just in their own little huddled grounds.
Yeah.
Gotta know how much they're affected, but yeah. They go to that, and it's...
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good storytelling. Really good visual.
Okay.
Really good visual way of showing that World War II happens.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
I hate it when people use that as like a...
Especially as a future prediction.
Yeah, like, oh, guess what's gonna happen? I was like, well, guess what actually
like
happened?
Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. There's that one character that could predict the future.
Yeah.
And then the week before Ultron came out, the only way they had to tie it in was just like, metal men!
Yep.
And then the episode ended, and then Age of Ultron came out.
I love... Oh my gosh, that show. Quick side note on that show. I love when they stopped being apart. Like, I think they were going to be for like a little bit, and then they basically said like, no, like, Phil Coulson is dead. Like, you can't revive him.
Like, Josh Whedon said that 4 episodes in.
Yeah, like, we're not making Phil Coulson alive again. So, like, they officially got cut off from the Marvel Universe, and then they just, like, thrived on it still. They're like, the Sokovia Accords. Oh my gosh, like, don't even
know that.
Yeah, we know what's going on
there. Flips cap onto head.
Yeah, like, the Avengers, you know, just because they're, like, like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? You can't do that. And then they had that one side chick from Thor on it.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, she was cool.
And then the Enchantress was introduced for some reason.
Yeah.
That's the one to just dump on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cute, though. How they, like,
it's more about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
How they try to pretend to be part
this.
Of the universe.
Goddamn. Okay. Yeah, that's Credence's story. He goes off with Grindelwald, even though the snake lady is sad about it. And then it all culminates in this Austrian castle, just mountainside castle, where... Queenie's officially evil. We gotta get back to that.
Honestly,
like Jesus.
At the same time, Queenie's story, we already talked about it. Basically, she gets seduced by Grindelwald, goes through his ring of fire, and then she's now hanging out with Grindelwald. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Queenie gets kind of sad for a bit.
Yep.
And then gets seduced
by
Grindelwald.
By Grindelwald.
And
really
their promise, even though Jacob is like, no, that's crazy. Don't do that. And then she's kind of hurt by that, but she's still doing it for him. And she's like, by the last scene, she's, like, proper menacing and, like, plotting against Credence to seduce him as well.
Right.
And then Grindelwald actually takes her opinions to heart, which is, wow, what a strong character choice.
I know. What a bold move.
What a hero. What a brave film.
Yeah, it really takes.
Fantastic Beasts, what a brave film.
What a brave film to have the sole purpose. To just be a film to set up other movies. I love those kind of movies.
What a hero. What a way. I really feel honored that J.K. Rowling told me to ask questions. and then answered them poorly.
And then, oh my gosh.
I'm really glad I know that.
Are we ready for the big reveal?
Okay.
I think it'd be a good closer.
Drum roll, please.
We've pretty much talked about this entire film. I think we've covered most of the bases.
I think we haven't talked about half the characters, which we might stop while we're ahead.
We might stop while we're ahead, because...
I don't know. It's not worth it.
Honestly, the movie's bad. The other characters, yeah, like, Newt's still Newt.
Newt's so really good.
He's fine.
He talks to Tina for a bit, and they're back together.
Yeah. And so, yeah, all the original characters are great.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore's good. And very good. Then it just...
And then the final sting, the final promise is that Credence gets a wand, which ruins the whole point of him having, like, Obscurus?
Obscurus.
Obscurus.
I think it's just Obscurus.
Yeah, Obscurus. And he gets a wand.
So now he has a wand.
And then he blasts a fireball into a mountain and it's completely destroyed.
It's like Rex.
Dragon Ball Z style.
Rex the cliff, basically.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh.
That was a pretty cool shot.
Yeah, it was a good shot. It looked good. The movie looked good. And then Grindelwald is like, oh, you know of the story of the Phoenix coming to a Dumbledore in need. Phoenix pops out. He's just like, what? And then he's like, your name is Atreus Dumbledore. And that was dragged out of I did laugh at that scene.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, actually funny. I was like, wait, what?
Because it was, like, Atreus.
Atreus is a stupid name, first of all.
Atreus Dumble. Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's Atreus.
Well, let me
look it up. Oh, my gosh. Credence is a Dumbledore.
Oh. And apparently it's his brother. Albus is... No. Aurelius. That's his name. Aurelius Dumbledore.
Aurelius. Oh, that's better.
Albus's brother.
That's
a good 80 years younger than him.
Yeah. It does not... Holy crap. It's like a 20-year-old dude. Albus Dumbledore is already, like, what, 50?
Yeah.
In this movie, probably? Maybe 40?
That could just use a wand...
Yeah, and
without
then he gives him a wand,
saying a spell.
Zero training.
Zero training, zero saying a spell.
Blast.
Just does a chop, and then a fireball comes out.
Nukes a cliff after figuring out that he's a Dumbledore.
Yeah, a squib. He's still a squib. He technically was a squib. It's fed by the guy who knows what squibs are, Grindelwald.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was just such a magical reveal. It really was good. It made you... feel like you could have spent $6 on anything else. Anything else.
You know in movies where I just freeze-framed after a joke? Like, where they're laughing at the end? It'd be great if Credence just, like, did a really awkward just... freeze-framed on that. Faded to black. Written by J.K. Rowling.
Plays OG Harry Potter
theme. A masterpiece. No. On the credits, it starts with a masterpiece by J.K. Rowling.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The Fantastic Beasts will return.
Oh, yeah. Really, will they? I hope so. I can't wait to find out who Dumbledore's twin brother is. After Grievous.
Twin brother is.
Oh, gosh. Maybe he has another sister. Maybe he didn't kill his sister.
Yeah.
His sister
Dumbledore had an arc. I don't care about talking about this movie.
It's just... That's... Yeah. Would not recommend. I mean, I would watch it for some good laughs.
Yeah.
And to watch Jude Law play Dumbledore.
I mean, we saw it at the Pix in a matinee. It was only $6.
It was only $6, so it
was
not bad.
But it was still too much.
But that was, oh gosh, I would say it's $6 too much, bro.
$6 too much.
Rights to watch it.
Let's do some random riffing.
And then just...
I want to do some riffing on...
The entire time.
There was one part, the main thing that they built the world for France is that every doorway to the Wizarding World is a naked statue.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just, like, awkwardly, like, in very public places...
Yeah.
You just have to, like...
And the statues move, and they, like, look around like no one's paying attention. It's like, you're surrounded by hundreds of people right now, so...
The statue looks, not the poor people.
No,
like,
I know.
The
statue.
Somebody has to look after his open and just, like, back into it.
Oh, my gosh.
The coats in this movie were great. There's so many coats.
There's a lot of cool coats.
There's a sick leather coat from Tina in the trailers.
Yeah, I like that coat. I liked Newt's coat. I also liked his brother's coat. They were good.
His brother's coat was quite good.
Those were...
Oh, I want to talk about Theseus, actually, because that was, like, the one emotional thing that actually was fine.
Oh,
and, like,
pretty
true. Well done.
Theseus was a well-earned character.
Yeah, he was just a good, solid dude. I just loved the Krevets for some reason. I don't want to marry him. Just try to get his brother down with it.
Yeah, she was weird. She, like, loved both of them. Didn't like that.
I don't think she loved both of them.
Because she said, I love you, and it was, like, kind of to both of them, though. I don't know. She was, like, weirdly flirty with Newt, though.
Yeah.
While being engaged to his brother. That's a warning sign.
Newt was on the spectrum, so he couldn't be in a relationship. That was a weird subtext of that whole thing.
That was so weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the brother was cool. He's painted as, like, this kind of weird, not antagonist, necessarily, but he works with the ministry.
Yeah.
So you're like, you think he might go bad or something at some point, but he doesn't really. He, like, obviously cares about his brother.
Yeah.
And then
like, Newt hugs him at the end, which is, like, very well learned and very sort of tied together, their relationship, after Blue Dragons got Red Dragon, like, Red Fired.
Get Red Fired.
Blue Dragon Blue got fire, Red Fired.
Blue Fire Dragon got Red Fired. The dragon was purely made of fire. Yeah.
But yeah, it was edited really frantically, so it was an intense scene.
Yep, yeah. It really was. It was, yeah. Oh my gosh, it was 1 minute of, like,
just smashing wands.
Goosh, yeah, goosh, goosh. Hitting the ground with your wand.
You gotta kush it harder!
Oh my gosh.
It's getting dangerous! Yeah. A lot of prophecies, a lot of, like, flash forwards and flashbacks, which is a great way of storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
Out of every single way of storytelling J.K. Rowling has learned, she really utilized the best one in just saying a story and then showing a thing that hasn't happened yet.
Yep. Oh my gosh. I think that pretty much concludes all of the things I've been holding in for the last couple of days on that movie.
Yeah.
It was...
Thanks for coming, everyone. Coming along on this fantastic journey. Where we found some fantastic beasts.
Some magical things to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, just watch Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Watch that. Listen to the soundtrack.
Watch that Masterpiece Cinema.
John Williams' best soundtrack of the Harry Potter series.
Best cinematography of any blockbuster, I'd say.
Very good. Very well done. This might sound sarcastic, but we actually love it.
It's very good.
Prisoner of Azkaban. It's really quite good.
Half-Blood Prince is better than this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Same movie, done better. Kind of. It looks very bland.
Yeah.
It was a pretty movie, you know?
It was.
It was a real dumb broad, but it looked good while working it.
Yeah.
All right. God bless, and we'll see you at the club next week.
Yeah.